not going to be long. I'm not going to keep you here long, but I want to leave you with something today that you think about on Memorial Day. You know, it seems like we turn holidays into party days all the time, and people party to forget, and they do all that kind of thing. But this day is really a sobering day because a lot of people visit graveyards on this day. And I knew my brother's best friend died in Vietnam, Barry, and it never, you know, my brother never was the same after. So there's a reason I'm giving this. It's going to be hard. It's going to be serious. But I want you to think and there's times we have to be sober-minded. We love the joy of the Lord, but we also need to ground ourselves in being sober-minded about the preciousness of life and how here on earth it doesn't last long. So you'll understand why I've called this When I'm Gone at the end of the message. I just came through not one, not two, not three, but four funerals. Four. The Friday before my so-called vacation, three people die. My aunt, two people in this church. And then a week later, another person from this church. So I spent four weeks planning funeral service, celebration of life, being with people that are grieving, having to say bye at least temporarily to their loved ones. And I can tell you, people, it gets to you. And it reminds me as a pastor that life is very serious. And it doesn't last long, does it? Not on this earth. I remember my friend Adam one time had this story, and he told it in here one time where he worked, and he knew that there was a man at work who worked with him, was a very rough, hard man. And I appreciate what you said, Amy, about the Great Commission, but he knew that he was supposed to give the gospel to this man. And this man was a very hard person and an angry person, and he was pretty sure that there'd be repercussions come back on him if he tried to witness. But God kept saying, you've got to talk to him about Jesus. You have to talk to him about Jesus. And then the day came where he came to work, and in the locker room where he worked, the man's locker was all cleaned out and empty, and he didn't know whether he got transferred or quit his job or what. So he asked there at work, and they said, oh, you didn't hear about him? He died suddenly of a heart attack. And all Adam could do was hang his head and cry because he missed it. The guy needed Jesus, and he failed. And Adam never forgot that. That's why his passion for the lost is so great. And he felt like he failed God. And once that happens, you cannot take it back. Life is very brief. James 4:14, of which Alex will be going into his next in a couple of weeks. I got an uplifting sermon next week for you. Today's serious, but this is what it says in James 4. I'm not trying to beat you to it there, Alex, but it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How many of you have lost a loved one or a friend within the last year? Raise your hand. There's a number of you, right? We as humans allow ourselves to assume we will always have more time, that life will somehow be in this present world forever. We just have it in our head, oh, that's going to be off there somewhere. But we never know when our appointed time is. We attempt to build our own personal kingdom here on earth, and Jesus had a lot to say about that, people. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and goods. And I will say to my soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take this, thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. When, whose shall those things be which you have provided? Who's going to have them now? So is he that lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. There's even movements in the church, people, that there's things like Kingdom Now theology where there's movements in the church saying we're now in the thousand-year reign and we're supposed to take over the world for Jesus and all this kind of thing. When Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world, he said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. So if Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, neither is ours, people. We cannot focus on, we're not going to be here forever. I remember when COVID hit, and well-meaning people, even in my church circles, that are in a lot of charismatic circles, they started buying into the teaching. Oh, do you know what's going to happen at the end of COVID? The wealth of their unrighteousness is all going to be given to the Christians. We're going to get all their money. We're going to get all their wealth. And then they're going to depend on us. And then maybe they'll come to the Lord. I thought that was the craziest thing I ever heard. And it never happened. Never happened. Yeah, can you see that? I got all your money. Now you want to receive Jesus because I've taken everything from you? Our kingdom's not of this world. But this stuff floats through the church. The thing is, life is brief. We have one job here, Christian, one main task. And when we get it done, he's returning in the clouds of heaven and with power and great glory and going to take us home. This present world will be destroyed. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and then he will reign 1,000 years. And he'll do it for a reason, and the devil will be bound, and then when he's loosed, he'll be destroyed forever. The fact remains that we're in sinful bodies that must eventually die or be transformed at the second coming of Christ. Jesus knew our condition, and he has a better plan for us. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, and what, church? Die? It abides alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And that word hate in the King's English means you don't put your own life even before the cause of Christ. You do not want to spend eternity in this body, do you? We're all going to have to die. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend it in this body. I'm getting old, right? I'm ready for a new one that comes at the second coming of Christ. And there are people that say that he already came back in 70 AD. This world wouldn't even be here, and we would be all have glorified bodies if that happened. We wouldn't even be here this way. Being born again starts spiritually by your inner man. He changes us from the inside out. Eventually, that change will be manifest in our physical bodies when he returns. So we live for a very short time, people, on this present earth in comparison to eternity. This is why it's important on this Memorial Day that you make every day count with those you love. You think about it, the memory of those that you wish were here. For you never know when they or you will have their appointed time. What do I mean by appointed time? Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." This is why you must understand the importance of truly loving people while you've been given the time. In one of the memorial services I gave, I had them at the end of the service look at one another. And I said, "Look, there's your family. There's your friends. These are people that mean something to you. It is time now to bury differences. It is time now not to play games with one another because you don't know who among you is going to be next." Jesus said we're to love one another. And even in 1 Corinthians 13, he talked about all those wonderful, powerful gifts of the Spirit. You could prophesy to as well as you can prophesy, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. You can have all wisdom and knowledge and have all your doctrine correct. You're going to get it right, some people said. But if you're not loving other people, you're nothing, according to 1 Corinthians 13. This is why you must understand the importance of truly loving people. And first, at the highest priority, is to do everything possible to make sure that those you love are born again. You can bake apple pies for your neighbor. You can be as nice as can be. But if you never share the truth of the gospel and they are not saved, they will die and go to hell. And what good, your apple pie couldn't save them. But you still should love them. But loving them also involves giving them the truth. Amen? First thing you should do for those you love is pray for them. This is going to sound very similar to Amy's points about camp. Pray for them. Pray for salvation. The Word says that no man can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw them. And He wants to draw them. But He's chosen to use our hands and feet in our prayers. He's moved by the prayers of the bride of Christ. So when you pray for someone to be saved, He begins to try to draw that person. Hopefully they'll respond. Sometimes they do not. But you've got to pray for them, give them the gospel, and also love them in an agape-type manner. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 13. One of the hardest things for me as a pastor, can I bare my soul today? It's been tough. The last month and a half has been tougher than people can imagine on your pastor. And I don't talk about a lot of it. But I try my best to be a hard disciplinarian when people need it, and I don't do very well. It's as your pastor, I'm not good with, if you want me to rule with a rod of iron, you're going to wait a long time because I just don't have it in me. I'm doing my best. And when I see sheep that I think are in danger, I try to warn them. They don't always listen, and it kills me. It eats my heart out. And I'm doing the best I can. But I'm trying to love. And I know love sometimes deals with what does God say? He chastens those He's loved. Pray for me because I'm not good on that end of it. I need men around me to help me. And so just pray for your pastor. Because I don't like to see anybody sad. I don't like to see anybody hurt. But sometimes, I mean, I remember this story that makes me cringe, and I don't like to think about it, but you know that picture with the lamb on the guy's shoulders? That's the lost lamb that wandered off. And you know what that shepherd had to do with that lamb? He had to break its legs. Because if he didn't break its legs, it would wander off and get devoured by a wolf. So he's carrying that lamb, and that lamb's going to heal, but he's going to learn and not wander off the next time. I don't do good with breaking legs. I probably never will be. But this life is worthless if we can't love one another. We don't have a lot of time. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. I see so many signs out of Matthew that we're getting close. They're putting chips in people now over in Europe and some places here. And you know what? The Bible says that mark is going to go on your right hand or forehead. Sorry, I know I got young kids here. But you know what? You know where they're putting these chips now in people? Right here. Right in the... What a coincidence, right in the hand for identification. This is another sign that we're getting close. We don't have time for games and silliness, and I want people to grow up so bad. Quit letting silly stuff cause division and dumb stuff. And this is why I say, God, I just don't know how well I'm cut out to be a pastor. I know it's my 10th year, but man, it just eats my heart out. But we have to love each other, even to the place where it sometimes hurts. Unforgiveness has no place in the kingdom of heaven and the body of Christ on earth. Through your unforgiveness, you are holding the person in spiritual bondage. Did you know that? You might be the one standing in the way of someone's salvation if the person you're not forgiving is not saved. How do I know this? This is what Jesus said in John 20:23. Look it up. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Don't leave anyone in, don't hold their sin against them, because that's where their judgment is. Release it. Even Stephen, being stoned with Paul's authority, was saying, Lord, as he was dying, lay not this sin to their charge. Jesus takes this item of unforgiveness very seriously. He set the best example of all by saying on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, here's what I want you to do. Think of somebody you're struggling with right now that's causing you a lot of difficulty and hurt and anger. And I want you to repeat after me. Say His words. Say this. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Say it right now. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, for some of you, that was a little hard. But that's what He did on the cross for us. But you've got to release that. Jesus also gives us the warning that most of us have heard, and I hope we take it seriously, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I think of sins committed against those I love that are gone, not around anymore, and what would I do differently? My dad that's up here, my mom, as a teenager, I put them through H-E-double-L. I don't even like to say the word because I don't want to have anything to do with that place. But I put them through terrible things. I was a drug addict. I ran away from home twice. They were worried sick about me. Terrible things happened to me. I was very rebellious, which was as a sin of witchcraft. Oh, if I could do it over again. Now, I had a good relationship with my dad and my mom when they passed. Took care of my mom. But oh, the things I did to them and different people. Could I take it back? Memories of those I love that have gone on this Memorial Day. How brief it now seems that I was able to spend time with them. My brother Bill, dead at age 46 of a heart attack. My sister-in-law Ann, dead of lung cancer at age 54. My niece Katie, who never really had a physical chance. She was born with defects. Prader-Willi syndrome. And then she had to go home at age 30. Hard. A young man that was in my youth group that had a sexual sin that he couldn't control, and he did better, and then he backslid and caught AIDS, and I took care of him almost to the day he died. I don't regret it, but how sad was that? But at least he died in grace. He came back to the Lord and repented. So I'll see him in heaven, and he'll never have to deal with those sins again or what he fought. My brother Terry, who most recently died, and he was a rough, hard guy, but and Mickey's not in here, but thank God for Mickey hearing the voice of God and leaving the service one day and going down a witness to him and him praying with her to receive Jesus. I'll be eternally grateful. Different people in my family, people that have been in this church. Recently, Dennis Dodson, who pastored faithfully in this church, went to be with Jesus. Our organist, Dorothy, for those of you who remember, Judy Pancop went. Beautiful lady, Amanda Kelly, Roland Crow, Isaac and Bonnie Skank. I think of all these people. A young man by the name of Ben in Awana Club who was just 12 and died of cancer. Jerry and Betty Creek, Cecil Hillers, Merrill Bollinger. I could go on and on. My mom and dad, Cherie Schmidt recently, and Ethel Brown. Good to see you here today, Darlene. Life is short, people. Even if you live to be 93, life is short. So many others that were faithful and are in the presence of Jesus. Church, we don't have time to play games with each other and get caught up so much in ourselves that we don't realize the most precious gift God had given us on this earth, other than His Son, Jesus Himself. One of the gifts He's given us is each other. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you." If any person don't love one another, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm going to end this. And some of you remember when I did this before from this same sermon. And some of you will know this story. There was a couple, Christian couple. The man is still living. But the wife died of cancer. Her name was Rory Feek. Joey and Rory Feek. She's a country artist. She knew the Lord. And Rory came down with a terminal form of cancer. Unless God touched her and healed her, she was going to be gone. And she got a word from the Lord that He was taking her home, that He wasn't going to touch her and heal her. And so what she did was she wrote a song to her husband. And it's hard to watch. But I want you all to think and watch this because people are precious. They're not people you can just dispose of and throw away every time you get mad about something. I know I'm preaching some people here. She wrote this song to prepare him for her time she went on to be on with Jesus. Because you see, they had a special needs child, and he was going to be taking care of that child. I want you to see this song, and I want you to hear what she sings about. And then I'm going to close today on this Memorial Day. And I hope you think about what I've said today. Let's play this song, "When I'm Gone," if you will. Let's watch it. Thank you. That was actually her singing that song. She's with Jesus now. Hold the people you love close while you can. Give honor to the memory of those that have gone on, and I hope they're with Jesus. There is good news in this message, by the way, and it comes from Revelation 21, 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. That New Jerusalem, people, is the church. Those that have trusted Jesus, the bride of Christ. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Are you thirsting for that water today? Is there anybody who has not partaken of that, who has not trusted Jesus in here, in this room, or watching me online? Because he offers it, Jesus is here. He wants you to come to him and receive his eternal life. If you'll just come to him and call on him today. He says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'm telling you, people, it's easy. Salvation's not hard. It's coming to Jesus just as you are, saying, I've got sins. I need you to cover my past, present, and future sins because I can't do it. I want that living water you have given. I want to live forever with you. I don't want to perish into eternal damnation. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, for anybody that may be in this church today or watching me online that has not come to you and asked for that river of living water, that life, eternal life that you give, Jesus, draw them, I pray, by your Holy Spirit. Draw them and have them turn to you this Memorial Day. I'm asking you, Father, to work, and I know that you're willing to draw them because your word says that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So I thank you for doing that. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for that eternal life. I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sister that just sung that song, that she's in heaven. And her husband indeed has moved on because he looks to you as well. Help us to do the same. There are people in this room that have lost dear ones even recently, and it's not easy. Let your grace be with them on this Memorial Day, and let us honor their lives by remembering all the good things, the things we learned from their life that you flowed through them to show us. In Jesus' name, amen.